The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
And he said to me, be sexy. So I was sexy, and I was sexy and awesome and fantastic. And he said, be fabulous. And I said, I'll be fabulous, darling. Oh, and I said, please be on my radio. And he said, yes, yes, I'll be on your radio. And I said, oh, I bet you say that to all the girls. Frank is on right now.
You are listening to Crotolo Chronicles.
From a Toya paper moon, sailing under a cardboard sky, but I wouldn't be make-believe of you believed in me. Oh, it's a love, love, love. Oh, it's a honky-tonk parade. Oh, it's a love, love, love. Oh, it's a melody played at a penny arcade for the barman Bailey World. Just as funny as it can be, but I wouldn't be make-believe of you believed in me. Oh, put another nickel head in the Nickelodeon. All I want is loving you and music, music, music. Closer, my dear, come closer. La, 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 Leo's when you come close to me. Take me out to the ball game, or take me out to the park, or buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. So I don't care if I never get back with a room, but look for the home team, and it's a shame they don't win.
You're a college man. She'd like to have seen you land a job with a little more status attached. Is that it?
I guess that's part of it.
But not all of it. I think maybe I can understand how she feels. And maybe she's right, Culver. It's awkward having a policeman around the house. Friends drop in, a man with a badge answers the door. The temperature drops 20 degrees. You throw a party and that badge gets in the way. All of a sudden, there isn't a straight man in the crowd. Everybody's a comedian. Don't drink too much, somebody says, or the man with a badge will run you in. Or how's it going, Dick Tracy? How many jaywalkers did you pinch today? And then there's always the one who wants to know how many apples you stole. All at once, you lost your first name. You're a cop, a flatfoot, a bull, a dick, John Law. You're the fuzz, the heat, your poison, your trouble, your bad news. They call you everything. But never a policeman. Maybe she's right. It's not much of a life unless you don't mind missing a Dodger game because the hotshot phone rings. Unless you like working Saturdays, Sundays, holidays, at a job that doesn't pay overtime. Oh, the pay's adequate. If you count your pennies, you can put your kid through college. But you better plan on seeing Europe on your television set. And then there's your first night on the beat. When you try to arrest a drunken prostitute in a Main Street bar and she rips your new uniform to shreds, you'll buy another one out of your own pocket. And you're going to rub elbows with all the elite. Pimps, addicts, thieves, bums, winos, girls who can't keep an address and men who don't care. Liars, cheats, con men, the class of Skid Row. And the heartbreak. Underfed kids, beaten kids, molested kids, lost kids, crying kids, homeless kids, hit and run kids, broken arm kids, broken leg kids, broken head kids, sick kids, dying kids, dead kids. The old people that nobody wants, the reliefers, the pensioners. The ones who walked the street cold and those who tried to keep warm and died in a $3 room with an unvented gas heater. You'll walk your beat and try to pick up the pieces. Do you have real adventure in your soul, Culver? You better have, because you're going to do time in a prowl car. Oh, it's going to be a thrill a minute when you get an unknown trouble call and hit a backyard at 2 a.m, never knowing who you'll meet. A kid with a knife, a pillhead with a gun, or 2 ex-cons with nothing to lose. And you're going to have plenty of time to think. You'll draw duty in a lonely car. With nobody to talk to but your radio. 4 years in uniform, you'll have the ability, the experience, and maybe the desire to be a detective. If you like to fly by the seat of your pants, this is where you belong.
The story you have just seen is true. The names were changed to protect the innocent. Thank you.
The Frank is on. The Frank is on. The Frank is on. The Frank is on.
You're kidding. The donut lady has other stuff, too. The donut lady has napkins.
I'm scared as hell.
And now, on with the show.
Now?
From
Song
New...
was written by Fred Ebb and John Cantor.
Shut up! I'm talking now, Frank. Let's sing this together, you and me.
Don Costa. And stolen.
He's dead too. Move on.
Start spreading the news.
This is dedicated to my hometown.
I am leaving today.
But not quick enough.
I want to feel part.
Oh, okay, I can make sure he's
New York, New York.
Oh, he's gonna improvise.
He is. He's vagabond.
Vagabond blues.
They are longing to stray.
You got a live version here, and he's got this thing in his voice.
Right
now.
The very heart of it.
I'll go last.
New York, New York. I want to wake up in a city that never sleeps. And when I'm king of the hill, top of the heap. My little town blue.
Come on, everybody, you know the words.
They are melting away.
Melting away.
I'm gonna make a brand new start of it in old New York.
And
if I can
make it there,
I'll make it anywhere. It's up to you.
Bad boys, big boys, little boys, sick boys.
That's control over there, you know what I mean?
Yes. Boys from Brooklyn, boys from Queens, boys from the Bronx, boys from Long Island.
Fat boys. Dead end kids. Bowery boys.
Just the facts, man, just the facts.
Commander Cotolo! Now on board the Bard of Broadcasting, Mr. Curious Yellow himself.
You enter this theater at your own risk. We are not responsible for any injuries incurred while you listen and give you fair warning that anything you hear may be held against you. Philosophical entertainment, relevant irreverence, and that's right, I couple surface netaholics and infomaniacs. Welcome to Cotolo Chronicles. I am Cotolo, and I am a chronicling. As we move along, on the last day of January, why two? January? July. Mark it right. I'm telling you, another rush, ladies and gentlemen, friends of all ages and comrades, let's just get on with it. Here we go, July 31st. That's Cotolo on the... Ice cap to ice cap, from Hamlet City, from Othello, and into every bordello. Here we go. Moving along here, as we do. Wake up, it's night, everyone. Rain, sleet, snow, and dark of night. None of it seems to stop me. That's what they want to do, but they don't do it. Here I am, a repulsive form of gravity, brought to you through the courtesy of all the stations that replay it and live on SRN Media Works. And as the situation presents itself, as it often does right here on this fabulous... I got to stop. I can't steal that word. That word don't belong to me. It's fantabulous. That word don't belong to me, man. That word belongs to the artist D. I can't be as fabulous. I am not fabulous. Fabulousness is not my thing. I don't know what you would call me, but I am a repulsive form of gravity, I think. Or I'm, in any event, in all events, and certainly in this event, my name is Frank Atolo, man whose name adorns the title of the show. And I want to share with you some stuff before we get into our discussion with Brock LaRobe, who is somewhere in the Midwest tonight, or when you're listening this afternoon, or if you're on your smartphone listening, or on another station that you're listening to from CatoloChronicles.blogspot.com. On the bottom, you find out what stations are replaying this show. But if you're here live, you are here live anyway, because what you're hearing is live, as I've said this time and time again. And here comes another time. When I do it, it's live. You're just going to hear it. I don't edit it. I don't click in commercials. I don't do anything. This is not a podcast. It's a broadcast. It's a cybercast. It's the original internet broadcast. I'm saying that because I've been watching the Marc Maron program, and it is a program, and I really like Marc Maron. Never knew him. I don't know Marc Maron. I don't know him, but I think we'd get along fine. And he lives in Los Angeles, around areas where I know, and he goes around areas on his show, which is on the international movie independent station called IFC, International Film, Independent Film Channel. There you go. Thank you very much. But, and he of course, does a podcast called What the Frick? See, I know I could say it, but I'm not saying it. It's even though I have freedom, yes. I'm not. What the Frick? Anyway, he does a podcast, and of course, he comes into this. He's a stand-up comedian, a very good stand-up comedian. Comes into the internet broadcasting arena very late. Way after me. But I make you this promise right now, because I saw a very, very good episode of his show where he talked about podcasts versus broadcasts, and you know how I feel about broadcasts and what's going on in radio today. When a guy says in the show, "You're through in radio," he says, "Everybody's through in radio, because what is radio anymore?" So what you're going to do, what I promise you, is that I'm working very hard right now to get in touch with Marc Maron, to remind him, if he doesn't know already, that I started this darn thing. And I want him on the show here to talk with me. He's a funny man, and I know he'd get it. And I think that he'd be very... good on the show, and that we'd have a lot of fun talking. So look for that. I know I've made promises before, and I do. I keep the promises. I try to get these people. We're still waiting for Robin Matthews, who's touring the world, I guess. I don't know how many years before, I guess, until her Academy Award finally gets tired of looking at it, and she'll put it up on a shelf, and she'll call Catolo Chronicles. Any other number of people will continue to be on as we maul our way through the summer of Y2K plus 14. Now, the other thing I was thinking about was live shows. It doesn't matter right now, and in the context of the story, and it's not a story, of what I'm saying right now, does not matter to tell you where, in fact, I'm going or what I'll be doing, but I'm off to on the road for a live show. Okay, not a live show with me. I'm going to attend and do. It doesn't matter. Okay, but I'm going to a live happening, a place, an arena, a place where thousands of people will come. It's a live show. Okay, nothing digital about it. And it dawned on me, especially when I was watching the Marc Maron episode about how, you know, information is everywhere. You carry it with you now on with your text, your phones, your auto phones, your smartphones, your iPhones, your iPads, and all the things that you have, the mobility of this stuff, which was once stationary and then became podcasts, and you carry on with iPods, and now you can listen to it live and everything that goes on. And
when I was listening, and then he was realizing how live events are really moot now, and nobody watches live events unless they're sports. Sporting events are live, and that's all that's left of live television. And so when actually something is happening, which is live broadcasting, everything else is on taped, everything else is doctored, edited, everything else is treated and sweetened and done for your enjoyment. You could watch it again and again. You could watch it on demand. You could download. You can upload. You can get the whole load of stuff you want and any time you want. There's no even any time factor anymore. You could make your own radio station by programming all your own music, have it at billions of gigs. I don't know how many gigs anything carries anymore, but it's like a gig. It's gig mania. There's gig mania out there. You know, when we started this, we had megabytes, I think. I don't know, something. But we didn't have all these gigs. One gig was like a trip to, was like Mars, to get one gig that was as big as Mars, maybe bigger. Maybe it was a, but now it's not out of the question to buy any kind of computer and get 257 gigs. I don't even know the amount of gig. I don't even have the math involved in all this. Here's what I know. I know that live events, live sporting events, live concerts. People go to concerts still. It's not just sporting events. There are live concerts. And groups are now, they have to go. They have to go out and into theaters and go across the country singing their songs live into theaters because they don't have, because they can't even sell music anymore. The music industry has been shot. But all of this funnels into the fact that all live entertainment is suffering, just like many other things are suffering from the digital revolution. There is no more and will never be again. So it's time to adapt down the Hallelujah Trail, as we've been saying from the beginning of the show, when people did not believe us, when we said, watch out, learn what you're doing, because it's all over. Don't say goodbye. Don't say goodbye. Say goodbye. Don't think that these things are staying. And along with these things, which we're very, very used to having, whatever they are at any given time, stores are disappearing. Entire buildings with contents in them, the shopper building, are disappearing because, you know, the virtual building, the virtual shopping mall is taken over. Okay. TV. What do? They stream. They make sure they get onto the internet now because people are walking around with stuff. Okay, these are the same people. I'm not going to get into this because you know how I get. I get militant when it comes to this stuff. I'm not going to do it, but you know that. All the things they said they were not going to do, they did. Why? Because as I told you from the beginning, this is the most powerful thing to come into humanity since what? I don't know. Since the wheel. Since a caveman said, look at this. And he didn't say it in that language, but he meant this. He meant, look at this. I got something that rolls. Look at this thing. It's like, what is, and then you could put stuff on it and suddenly they were transporting things. That was the beginning of civilization. Okay. The tool. Remember the beginning of 2001? Remember? Suddenly the monkey realized that this is a tool and the tool is a weapon and a tool is good and bad, and that changed monkeys. The monkeys, evolution, everything. I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying and thinking, every one of you. But in general, live entertainment, theater, music, sports, it's all changed. It's all different. It's all, and it's all because of the digital revolution. And what we're going to be talking about has a lot to do with this too, because we're going to be talking about change pop cult, a certain genre that has changed so much, because along with the technical changes of pop culture that are inspired by the digital revolution, along with that, the change in values, the change in graphic, the change in style, the change in the very theater upon which the play is presented. Brock LaRob is with us shortly from the Midwest. I mentioned that. He won't be shortly be here for the whole show. And we're going to be talking about the police shows. We're going to be talking about a very common genre, which continues today, and how it's changed from the days of Of what? How about of, if you listen to the collage, when we came in, and you didn't just come into the beginning of the show here, if you listened and you heard Jack Webb, the voice of Jack Webb, talk about what it's like to be a policeman from the very famous, and if you don't know this, boyfriend, you get out your notebooks, for God's sakes, and start to look this stuff up later. Dragnet. Dragnet. From there, and that was the redux of Dragnet, because it was originally a 1950s show. Now, there's plenty of people out there who don't know Dragnet, and yet what has stayed with it are these four notes that people do today when they hear impending doom, or when they think of impending doom. They don't know anything about the show or where it came from. This is one of the influences of pop culture. This is what happens with pop culture. You don't even know nothing about Dragnet, Jack Webb, and the whole gang, but they know this. Bum, ba-dum, bum. Bum, ba-dum, bum, bum. And so it is that these various elements of pop culture transcribed into the heads and hearts and souls of all of us as we move on down the Hallelujah Trail. But, you know, that's the story. That's what's going on. We're here, and we're still here, and we're going to stay here for as long as we can, because we started this mess. All the stuff that's going on, okay? There was no talk shows. There were no podcasts with people talking. There were no stars. There was no nobody. It was a vast... You talk about a vast wasteland, okay? Marshall McLuhan once called TV the vast wasteland. Well, there was a vast wasteland out there in the internet when we got into broadcasting, and everyone laughed. Oh, they all laughed at Christopher Columbus. Remember that? No, you don't even remember that. I happen to be a fairly educated adult, a senior of my generation, a man who sets himself above the various... ilk. And my name is Frank Yottola. I'm the man whose name we're doing as the title of the show, the man who started the show, the man who went, they saw a vision, they had a vision, and they said, "Where's Frank?" And along came internet radio. And this is the stuff that happens, okay? So in any event, in all events, and certainly in this event, Brock Morab will be here. And Brock, the author of The Lamplight, a wonderful murder mystery, which is in itself is a police drama of some sort. Some sort. I haven't read it yet. I'm sorry. I got to apologize to him, too. I told him I'd read it. What else are we doing? We're doing throughout the... so listen, go on. You know, it's important to once in a while make an effort, even though just being a part of a live a sporting event or something or music. Or, you know, you're just a witness. You're just an audience. You're just a witness. But when you go out and you see it, see whatever you see out there. Even mimes on the street, if you have mimes on the street in your town, we cover so much territory, I have no idea. I mean, you know, and even overseas, you're listening to us very late or early in the morning in Great Britain. Are there mimes on the street? I don't know. Would they be arrested if they're on the street? Do you see what I'm saying? Can you hear what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm talking about and where I'm coming from? Why don't you go buy some book? What else have we got? Should we sell a book or two? Maybe we'll sell a book. And then we'll come back. Oh, I just lost the... we'll sell a book. You know, man, I'm doing stuff. And then we're going to get Mr. LaRob onto the show.
In a world where reading is dying out, a new champion emerges. Wacky escapades. Parallel universes.
Hello, everyone. This is me, Frank Yottola.
There's never a dull moment as Frank weaves the tale of a writer making you laugh, chuckle, and learn a bit about life. Pick up License to Scale by Frank Yottola now on Amazon for your Kindle.
Juiced Talk Radio. It's juicy. JuiceTalk.com. Hear Frank Cotolo's Cotolo Chronicles.
Imagine if there were companies that made cookies, and they only got together to make like one a certain amount of cookies for a certain amount of time. Okay,
Transistor by Velvet Steel.
You know, you've got short nipples, you've got long nipples that stick up from the body, you've got big areolas, you've got small areolas, you've got different colors, you've got hair growing off them, you've got everything going, you've got veiny nipples, you've got all kinds of different things. But for some people, they have really small nipples.
And the Fabulous D Show by me, the artist D.
You bring this out in me.
I know. And that's why this is so unique, because you could do a million of your own shows.
And I would never do this there, no.
Exactly. You'd never start saying, who did they suck off to get that?
All at Juiced Talk, archived for your listening pleasure. JuicedTalk.com.
The story you have just seen is true. The names were changed to protect the innocent.
Yes, that's right. The innocent. The other bum, 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 bum. You heard the drums there? Bum, 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 bum. Mr. Brock LaRob is a person I've known for many, many, many years. He has done some radio work with me many, many years ago on a ill-fated show. I wonder what happened to Tom Savino tonight. I guess he disappeared. I thought he might be coming on. Let's get Mr. LaRob on the phone. Oh, look at this already. Already a failure, huh? We're not bumming with cell phones and mobile. Come on here. Call him over here. Mo. There he comes. Oh, no. Look at that. Now that's shot. I wonder why we can't do that. Okay. We're trying to call. Pay monthly. Look at this. You need Skype credit or a subscription. Hey, it's not gonna happen, pal. It's not gonna happen. Pay as you go. No. What is this? We can't use Skype anymore? Hold on a second now. I'm starting to get PO'd here. What do you mean? I'm not doing this thing alone. Wow, look at that. We're gonna have to get in touch with, as we're going along, you're gonna have to get in touch with Mr. LaRob. Mr. Brock LaRob, let's see if I go through the contacts thing here. Hold on a second. I think I have I have another way of trying to get to him. Let's see. Do I have recent? Yeah. Here, let's see if that's recent. Here's another one. Now, here's one. Pending contact requests. What are you talking about? There's no pending contact request. Something screwed up here on this fabulous. I said I used fabulous again. Here's Pam. Okay, let's try this now. No, Sky Credit. Apparently, we have a problem here. He's online. I see he's online through the person who has, in the connection, but Mr. LaRob, we're having a very problem, big problem here with Mr. LaRob. Oh, let's see. Try it again. Okay, try it again. Yes, you could. No, it doesn't. Look at this. What is this? Something new? Because this is a mobile phone? What if I try a video call? Let's hit a video call and see if it goes. Oh, it can't. There's no webcam. So that's it. So as we find out here right now, LaRob is on somehow online. Let me see if I can get his. And yet there's no Mr. LaRob because, you know, I'm confused about this here, though. Listen, look at this. I'm going to tell you what this says here. You need Skype credit or a subscription to call landlines and mobiles from Skype. So there's a mobile. It's not a Skype. Skype mobile? A Skype mobile would be a phone. Wouldn't that be a smartphone?
And I think how it works, that's
what?
From your actual cell phone, like your cell phone number.
So they only allow, look at this. You need a subscription to call landlines? Call anywhere?
Yeah.
Well, what is that? This doesn't happen with everybody else.
Well, that's because his Skype is probably...
It says ready down here now at 929.
It's probably connected to a landline.
Really? Let me try it again here. Ready. It says ready.
You're hitting call mobile. That's why.
Well, what am I supposed to hit?
Hit the arrow.
The arrow?
Yeah.
Oh, isn't that something? Oh, yeah. Thank you very much. Well, what would I do without somebody who knows these things? See that? I did it... Yes, and now, look, he's on... He's got... Well, you people can't see it, but... He's there's Brock LaRob with a can you hear me, Brock LaRob? There's no sound. Brock LaRob has no sound. What?
Click on that.
Click on this?
Yeah.
And what?
Go to speaker.
Go to speaker. Okay.
All right, it's on his end. Jim.
It's your end, okay?
Chances are your mic is off
or something, Mr. Rob. We're working here very diligently through this. I see his face, he's talking, but I don't hear him. We can't hear you. Can you hear us, Mr. LaRob? No, your microphone is not on. Your microphone is not on. Now they're looking. They're up.
So camera was the first thing.
The camera's off there. Now we're going to try and call again or what? There.
Yeah.
Is your mic on now?
It should be under...
Technical difficulty. Here I am talking about how this fantastic... See, I didn't say...
This fantastic
contraption. Well, these things happen, you know. I mean, no matter how sophisticated anything gets, you know, I'm sure that the Land Rover on Mars, every once in a while, someone says, don't push that, no, and the thing doesn't work, and the arm doesn't go up, or whatever. And now I'm waiting. I'm Mr. LaRob, are you there? Well, I don't see, we don't hear you. Something's wrong with your mic. We see you, but we don't hear you. Something's wrong with your mic if you're hearing us, and we're not hearing you.
You can fix the mic with the little...
You can fix the mic with the little
bars on the bottom there. That are next to the button to make it full screen. The call quality...
See, ours is working. See, our speakers and everything are on and stuff, yeah. But we don't have your voice, Mr. LaRob.
The other thing is maybe you just don't
He's looking around, because we can see him. He's on a video call. He's looking around as if he's got this console. It's like, you know, like you're on a spaceship, and he's going to see...
One of those 1980s
computers. Move this one. You have me... There's probably one little switch there, Mr. LaRob, that gets you going. let's see. Hold on a second. Wait. Okay. I don't know. Let's see. We're having a problem there. Dun, 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 dun. Now, do we see...
We still see him.
We see him, but it's really hard to have a conversation. We just see somebody's face. Now they're trying. Well, he's getting some technical help. At the moment, you're listening to Cotolo Chronicles. My name is Frank Cotolo. Man's name and joins the title of the show. Of course, we have had many, many problems many, many times on the show. And what we do... Okay, he's going to try call again or something. What we do is we overcome adversity, however it might...
Yep.
Okay, he's now calling. Here now. Okay, now we're going to answer this and see if... I hear him now.
You do hear me now.
There it is. There's Brock.
Hey. I froze.
You had a freeze there, and you have a video going, so that's okay.
Yeah, but I'm supposed to see you. I'm seeing myself.
No, you're not seeing me because I don't have my video hooked up.
I want to look at me.
I'm saving RAM. Well, then don't look at you. Just listen. Just listen. That's it. Don't look at you. Just listen.
Looking.
Or you could. You could look into the screen anyway. Anyway, you're here, and we've worked it out.
Yes.
And it sounds well. It sounds good, so that's all that matters. Because this is, in essence, this is broadcasting. I mean, people can't see you anyway, and you can't see, you know. So if you and I can see one another, it doesn't matter, because we're just dealing with voices here.
That's right.
Thank you for the confirmation. And we will continue. How have you been? How are you doing out there?
You know, everything is great. It really is.
Is it?
It is, and even if it sucks, it's still great.
Okay, that's a wonderful way to put it. Even if it sucks, it's still great. So in other words, suck and great are the same thing to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like when they say, hey, you know, this guy's the bomb. You know, you hit with a bomb, you're dead, right? But if you're the bomb, that means you're good. So the bomb is good.
Sure, it's like when you kill an audience. You don't murder the audience.
Right.
Unless you're Jim Jones.
You know, go out and kill them.
Yeah, go out and kill them. Break a leg. Knock them out. Drain their blood. I mean, I've had people say things like, God, that's going on stage doing a live show. Get out there, Frank, and drain their blood. You know? So you're right. I'm glad you're well. People can't see you, but you look well.
Well, thank you.
And you can't see me.
I feel well.
You would. I would look well if you could see me. There are recent pictures of me.
Yeah, but you always look well. I see you a lot.
Yeah, there are pictures of me about.
Yes.
I don't know what they're about, but they're about, and they're out there. And I have been looking and feeling well, so thank you very much. I've been, you know, what I really want to do is talk about these shows that I know we're going to talk about and reminisce, but we don't want to make this really nostalgic. What we want to do, because there's tons of people out there, I don't know what we're talking about. And I just mentioned to people, I said, the strength of pop culture, a lot of people listening to the show are younger and they never saw Dragnet. They don't know Jack Webb. They don't know anything about.
They don't know Jack.
No, but you know what they do know, and this is something that show from both eras that it appeared has contributed is the following is, well, I could play it again, but you know, is the couple of notes that everyone knows and
dum dum dum.
Yeah, why don't you tell us that? But tell us first of all. And tell people who don't know anything about Dragnet, what the hell is Dragnet? What is that? Tell them.
Dragnet is in fact, a police term. And it means a saturation of an area to catch a criminal.
Right.
In other words, a crime was committed on First Avenue, and police set up a dragnet between 3rd and 1st Avenue to catch the criminal, which means that area was saturated with law enforcement to catch the criminal. So they have a dragnet out. And again, that goes back to, you know, you throw a net in the water and you drag it in the water and you're catching a lot of fish.
And back in the police day, it's still a police term, but not as much anymore, is it? It's not as much anymore because there's plenty more ways to search for criminals these days.
Yes.
Okay, and Dragnet, of course, became the title of a television show, police program, with Jack Webb. And originally, who was the original guy with who was it?
It was Ben.
Ben.
Ben was his last name, because then Harry Morgan took it over. And
I'm telling you, Ben, yeah.
Not Ben Nelson.
I forgot his name. No one would know him anyway. No one listening would know this guy. Anyway,
if he walked in this room, I wouldn't know him.
Anyway, Jack Webb played Joe Friday, Sergeant.
He also produced the
Joe
show.
Joe Friday. Yes, and of course later on many other shows. And
yes.
Of the same nature.
Garbage.
Nature. I said, see, I was not going to be editorial. I said nature. And Dragnet, and he played Sergeant Joe Friday from Los Angeles. This was all taking place in Los Angeles.
Yes.
And of course, the movie, there was a movie. There were two movies. There was a movie, Dragnet, with him and stuff. And then there was the other movie, the one that a lot of people might remember if they know the term Dragnet, the one with Tom Hanks. And how can I forget his name?
Dan Aykroyd.
That's right, Dan Aykroyd. I was at the premiere of that movie many years ago. I was at the premiere of that movie. Dan Aykroyd showed up on his motorcycle with his then wife, and I don't know if he's still married to her. She's a blonde. What was her name?
She was actually on that Tom Hanks TV show, Bosom Buddies.
Was she on that show? Maybe. Okay.
Yes, she was.
Well, he played Joe Friday's nephew or son or something, and they made a joke out of the whole Dragnet thing. It was called Dragnet, but so I'm just saying that because that will show up on here. Younger people might know that before they know.
Maybe.
The show. Okay, so Dragnet was a show, and it was a very typical TV, 50s TV
police drama.
And it was, which I was also going to say, morality play, because back in those days, all these TV shows that exaggerated reality were, of course. Mr. LaRob is going to tell us about some of the more popular ones. I'm going to shut up here for a second. You're even younger than I.
Yes.
So, but you remember these? You remember a lot of these on repeat, and I remember them on TV. You know, when they were on first time.
Actually, I remember them being on, not repeat.
You do.
Yes.
How far back do you go now? TV.
I have not been blessed with many things, but I've been blessed with a fantastic memory of things that do not matter.
Yes. That's
there's a word for that.
Yeah, it's yeah. I think you've said it all. I think you've said it all by describing the talent. Okay, so how far back do you? Do you remember the first Dragnet? You don't remember the first Dragnet, though, do you?
The first Dragnet had Ben. Ben Nelson. Ben.
No, but that was before your time.
It was before my time.
Yes.
And I probably wouldn't have watched it anyway because it was pretty damn boring. Somebody stole an apple from an apple cart, and then they're terracing around the neighborhood, questioning all these people, and then the show's over. Joe Friday never drew his gun. I didn't think he carried a gun.
I know. Yeah, and I know. I'm sorry.
The real LA cop was Roderick Crawford in Highway Patrol.
Okay, tell us about some. Wait a second. Highway Patrol was that guy.
Roderick Crawford.
Yes, Roderick Crawford, of course. Write these names down, people, if you don't know these people. And you can find pictures of them and everything on your Google, Yahoo, your Bing, or whatever it is. That was 50s, wasn't it?
Before you do that.
Go.
I just want to mention probably one of the all-time best titles for any TV show. And that would be Charles in Charge.
Charles in Charge?
Isn't that a great name? Charles in Charge. Charles in Charge of what?
Charles in... That was not a police...
I want Charles in Charge of me.
That wasn't a police thing. I got
to... No. Neither was the Rudy Kazooty Club. That was a tough club to get into.
Let's stay with the detective. What's the Rudy Kazooty? The picture on the blog that I have is, of course, from what? The Untouchables.
That is to me, that is the all-time topper of TV shows before, now, and after. There will never be another detective cop crime show like that.
Did you like the Brian... what's his name? What is going on with me?
Kevin Costner. It's a good thing I'm around.
I'm here. I know Kevin Costner. Brian, I forget the guy.
De Palma.
Yeah, wasn't that his movie?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. It was written by the guy. It was written by... what is going on with me? No, it was written by the very famous playwright David Mamet. Okay, it was written by David Mamet. Yes, the screenplay.
Sean Connery's first movie with his new teeth.
And it was his only Academy Award winning performance.
Yes.
But did you like that by comparison? Because both.
No, I did. I enjoyed it. It was very entertaining. But Robert Stack is Elliot Ness, and you know what? He wasn't the first choice to be Elliot Ness. The Untouchables has a really interesting history. No one wanted to take a chance on it. They did a pilot. None of the networks wanted it. And along comes this producer and also a TV star who no one thinks too much of. His name is Desi Arnaz. And him and his wife, Lucille Ball, they are the owners and they run a television studio called Desi Lou. And someone had mentioned to Desi Arnaz, hey, there's this interesting show. It's kind of like a narrative, it's got Walter Winchell and it's about, gangsters and prohibition in the 1920s. And Lucille Ball says, that's very interesting. I'd like to see that. Well, they saw the pilot and Desi Arnaz says, we're going to take a chance on this. We're going to buy the pilot and we're going to shop this around. And he's the only one who took a chance with it. And it set the stage for cop shows. Of course, before that, there was a cop show with Ralph Bellamy. And that actually ran quite a few years. It was called Man Against Crime.
Wow, I don't even remember that one.
And of course, he was against crime.
Man Against Crime. Yeah, he was a good guy.
Yeah, he was against it, on the network, I think they had Man for Crime.
But, I think one of the reasons Desi went for that was because the genre had become so popular. Wasn't M Squad already on that time?
M Squad actually premiered the same year with Detective Frank Ballinger, played by
Lee Marvin.
Lee Marvin.
Lee Marvin. And that's the thing about a lot of these shows. And you people out there who have cable, of course, the antenna TV, MeTV, I mean, all this stuff is being rerun again. A lot of it is not all of it, but I want to imagine all of it because the hunger for content on cable TV, they're running 24/7. So a lot of these shows pop up again. And you'll find, here's what I'm saying, you'll find a lot of these actors who you know from other parts running through, you know, in these shows and also guest starring in these shows. You see a lot of familiar names. I mean, you know, lately I've watched a lot of the Alfred Hitchcock Presents. Boy, that was a horrible, horrible series. I mean, I can't believe that that went on for like 9 years. It was terrible.
It stunk
is right, man. Yes. And we're on that again and again and again, yeah. Acting in those little dramas. God, it was horrible.
It stunk. I actually did watch a few on the reruns, and I'm saying to myself, wow, this is bad.
Yeah, I don't know how, but I guess that, I don't know how it went 9 seasons or 10 seasons. Whatever. But anyway, okay, what's my point? I have no point. M Squad,
well,
of course.
Was prime there.
Lee Marvin. Now, you know, there's a thread that runs, well, first of all, there was no, I mean, M Squad's a fictional character. And, yes. The Untouchables.
He was in Chicago. That, M Squad, that took place. That was, they were a,
what did the M stand? Murder?
Squad. And you know, the actors that played the detectives around him, they would, like, maybe be in every other episode. They were, really wasn't a starring cast. He was a star, and of course, if you were a guest star, you're either going to get killed, or you're going to get thrown in jail, or you're a loser. So,
what did M stand for? Murder?
Ellen Burstyn showed up. You know, she was going to get arrested. So, Clint Eastwood. You know, there you're going to get arrested. And the great thing about M Squad, and I always love this, is the score by Count Basie.
Yes, so there were a lot of, that's right, there's a lot of music comes out of these things aside from
dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun. Yeah.
Count Basie. Oh, yeah, the M Squad, the theme song actually set the tone for a lot of the theme musics for these detective shows. Because, you know, they had to be jazzy, they had to be, you know, tough, you know, jazzy, a lot of jazz, you know, jazz it up.
The M Squad theme song, which I believe, let's see, hold on, went something like this, I think. Here comes. There you go. Hey, now, you know what?
No, please.
Now, wait a second. I'm going to stop this here right now because I want everyone to think, and a lot of younger people are going to know this. Now,
yes.
Listen to this again.
I know exactly where you're going with
you
this.
Know where? Yes, you do. Listen to this again and tell me what contemporary comedy police thing this sounds like. Listen to this. This. Now, don't say anything. Nobody. Right? Yeah. Right. Oh, my son is sitting here, too. He just made a tremendous. His eyes just opened up. This is the M Squad. Okay. Look at. You know what's funny? There's a. It actually says this on the. On the thing, it's a wait. What does it say? You got to see this. There's a commercial on top of this thing. A lot of these, because all these guys. How come I can't get this to open up here completely wide here? Oh, here. Let's face it. You could hit a bus tomorrow. Go on, have a fag. And that's what it says here. Of course, meaning cigarette in England.
Yeah.
Okay, in England. But listen, that's an aside. Listen to here it is. Somebody knows. Let's see. Skyler's checking in here. Let me give everybody, as long as we're doing this. That's M Squad, circa 1950 something. Now, here is the other one I'm talking about. And let's see if anybody and everybody knows. This, let's see if I can find this.
They got to nail it.
Yeah, they're going to nail it easily. Here we go. Here's the theme song now. Now listen to this theme song. What a rip off, huh?
There was an epic episode of Family Guy where they use this as an intro.
Boy, there's neo-postmodernism at work, huh? Who wrote this? Who wrote this? Is a let's see if anybody got it, because somebody wrote in here. Hold on. Let's see. Hold on, Ed. Let me turn this off here for a second and see. Let me go back to my Skype thing. I think Skylar Hall just were listening, and he says, yeah, the TV series Police Squad, he had it. He got it. And this
that
isn't
was
even
a spoof. Yeah, it was a spoof of M Squad.
It says, was a spoof of police series in general and M Squad, in particular, the opening sequence of Police Squad spoofed both the opening sequence of M Squad and the openings of Quinn Martin's various police shows.
Yes, and actually Quinn Martin was a associate producer and then later full producer of The Untouchables.
Is it? Oh, wow, that's amazing. Oh, that was Ira Newton. You know, here's an interesting thing. Police Squad, I want to tell you something. Police Squad was written. Look how I'm going to stick myself into this. Police Squad was written, or you get kind of inspired, let's say, by Ira Newborn. Ira Newborn, known for doing a lot of Hollywood and movie themes. Ira Newborn is the guitar player I replaced in a group when I was still playing weddings in New York City.
No kidding.
Yeah, and Ira Newborn left for L.A., and I replaced him. That's something? And here he is now, and he went on to do this. So anyway, that's just an interesting little piece of trivia, since we're completely into trivia at the moment by doing this. But, you know, that what's great about that is it, again, reinforces our neo-postmodern theories. They're not theories. That's truth. Being inspired by other things and spoofs and playoffs. But
that's how ideas work.
You know, that's how things happen. Okay, so there, now we brought about the M Squad just by bringing that up and became Police Squad. So now people who don't know M Squad know the theme, and they can go back. Because, you know, there's tons of people walking around thinking that certain things are incredibly original without knowing.
Correct.
You know? And the Untouchables. Now, here's where I started to get into. And that was that M Squad and all that stuff. Okay, it's based on police things, and Dragnet was a real thing that police did to make it authentic. But the Untouchables created a fictional character of an actual man. Right? Elliot Ness
was a real man, yes.
Okay. Elliot Ness became somewhat famous, although never as famous as when they started doing those shows.
Yeah. He, in the shows, they gave him credit for putting Al Capone away, who was played by Neville Brand. And, but they wrote... that's a stretch. But, you know, it's an hour and a half. You got to make it exciting.
Well, but the point is that if anyone looks up Elliot Ness, if anyone looks up the name Elliot Ness, that's Elliot as in Elliot, Ness as in N-E-S-S, anyone looks up...
One T.
Elliot. One T, sorry. Yes. Thank you. Very good. Two L's, one T.
Eliot.
In history, of course, Elliot Ness was not anything like Robert Stack or Kevin Costner. He was not dashing. He was not even, he was nowhere near the adventurous person that he's, that drama must, create the character of Elliot Ness. But he's based on an original person. If you look up Elliot Ness and the history of him and how the Untouchables called that because they were G-men, right?
Actually, they were Treasury agents.
They were Treasury agents. Ah.
They were not G-men. They were a special unit put together by the Department of the Treasury.
Okay.
And so they know. See, a lot of people think that Elliot Ness and his boys, they were G-men, but they were not. They were T-men.
Team Treasury. They were Treasury Department. Yeah. I just got another Skype message here, and one of our other listeners and a guest of our show often, Dr. Andrew Waldar, says that his mother met Elliot Ness in Cleveland when his mother was a court stenographer.
No kidding.
Well, he's way out of...
That's fantastic.
Cleveland, he's way out of... well, I guess that was afterwards.
I wonder how the Indians are doing.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Waldar, for, because I don't know that. Okay, we got to, you know, I mean, all I could do is get, Ira Newborn is not necessarily history, but Certainly. Certainly, Elliot Ness.
But that's an interesting tidbit. I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, there's always that kind of crap. Always runs around here. Always swirls and orbits around Cthulhu Chronicles. That's where we are right now at Cthulhu Chronicles. Y2K plus 14, we're with Brock LaRob, the author of The Lamplight. How's The Lamplight? Okay.
Lamplight is actually doing pretty good. I'm getting some very good reviews.
I want to do a review of it, but I got to read it. And I'm sorry to say that any number of things have stopped me from getting it. So, but I will make good on that promise if I live to be 100. No, I will soon.
I'll hold you to it.
You know. And we'll get back. Lamplight is available at Amazon, right?
Amazon, Barnes & Noble, direct from the author, who will sign it.
How do they get it?
I've had a few book signings that went pretty well.
How do they get it directly from you? What do they do? How do they do that? You don't have a website, do you?
Shoot me an email.
Tommy Gunn, right? What is it?
Yeah, 216 at AOL.com, and there'll be a nice little signature in there. And
you had to come up with the number 216 because there was a Tommy Gunn already, right? When you created...
No, actually, no? They've been stealing it from me.
Well, then why are you 216? Why aren't you just Tommy Gunn? And then they would have to add numbers, right?
Well, I think that's a good number.
Okay. And you're right. I have no problem with the number 216.
Ohio.
Is it Ohio? No. Maybe it is Ohio. Brock LaRob, anyway, go get the book. You'll enjoy it. It in itself is a murder mystery detective thing about the United States and various things that happen.
Exactly.
I have a lot of fun with that. Murder
mystery, it's really good. Author Tommy Nocerino, and I think you'll like it out there. All our fans out there are going to like it.
What else do you, what other ones? We went through M Squad, because these things have, of course, carrying all the values of the 50s with them, though. What we're going to do is going to, in the second hour, is we're going to look at how so much has changed between, you know, from the time of M Squad to the time of, you know, Law and Order, you know,
NYPD Blue,
NYPD, NY, New York, Los Angeles, and of course the one that I was working on where all the criminals, the Law and Order spinoff, where all of the criminals are caught only through digital technology. That would be Law and Order : LOL instead of that. But we're gonna...
at the end of the show, when the criminals are caught, it's WTF.
Hey, listen to this. Elliot Ness, Dr. Waldar is telling us that Elliot Ness ran for mayor of Cleveland in 1947.
Did he win?
No, I'm sure he would have said he won. He became mayor. I guess he lost. And he'll probably tell us in a message shortly. But why wait? Let's move on to some other TV shows, because the genre was very popular, and that's...
Yeah, and it also, the cop show, what did that spawn? It spawned the detective show.
Okay, that's a good point.
The Private Eye show.
Private Eyes, as opposed to now, and we got some good music there, too. Well, Peter Gunn. Peter Gunn, who, and that whole deal certainly influenced the James Bond deal later on.
The Peter Gunn, that theme song, that set the stage for the Private Eye shows.
And if those of you
Henry don't, Mancini.
Yeah, Henry Mancini. Those of you who don't know Peter Gunn, it really has a, in a sense, although it's a big band sound, and we play this every once in a while, it does have that, it has that guitar thing that everyone knows from, the James Bond thing. Here, let me just hit this here for a second. Come on, what the heck? Yeah, this is it, isn't it? It's a Peter Gunn theme. Here it comes. I think this is it. Here it goes. And he was a suave private eye and good with the dames.
He was real good with the dames.
And this is another sense of...
Craig Stevens.
another reason why a neo-postmodern thing here.
Yes. Drake Stevens.
I'm not going to play the whole thing, but there, that's Peter Gunn. What was his name? Who played him again?
Craig Stevens.
Craig Stevens, yeah. Dashing.
Who was married to Alexis Smith.
Was he?
Yes.
I met Alexis Smith. And I didn't even think to ask, how's Craig?
How's Craig?
I didn't know that. She was a stunning woman.
He was a bit actor in Warner Brothers, and like a lot of actors did. The television made their careers. But before there was Peter Gunn, there was Call Mr. D.
Call Mr. D. Wow, that's really going back.
With David Janssen.
David Janssen, the guy who became the fugitive later on as man.
Yes. And Call Mr. D. He was the, ex-cop turned private eye in had a host of, again, guest stars that, would, you know, Robert Duvall would pop up.
Mr. D, what was his name that they called him Mr. D? Do you remember?
Richard Diamond,
which was, taken from a famous, I think, books. Wasn't there, yes. Were there Richard Diamond novels, dime novels?
They were pulp dime novels, yeah. Yes.
Wow. There's very little is original at all. Call Mr. D. Okay. I'm trying to think. I didn't make any lists or anything. I'm just trying to think of this stuff off the top of my head.
I don't remember him.
But now the police, you said the police stuff spawned the detective stuff. By the way, we're at the top of the hour here now. You're listening to Cthulhu Chronicles. My name is Frank Cthulhu, man. His name adorns the title of the show. This is the original internet talk show, everybody. So don't let anybody tell you otherwise. And we're all over the place. And go to CthulhuChronicles.blogspot.com. Get me as a friend on Facebook or whatever. You know, do all that stuff. Twitter me, tweet me, tumble me. I'm Tumblr too, Cthulhu.tumblr.com. All that stuff. I was there from the start there too. You know, I was one of the first. Oh, forget it. Let's move on. Brock LaRob is with me, of course, author and a media expert. There are a few people I know who know as a viewer and a witness of television. Few people I know who know as much about this stuff without having any direct contact, not conflict, I was going to say. But Brock does indeed know a lot of it. So tell us, give us the chronology of this. So Mr. D was before. Who was the really, you think, the first TV detective then? Show? Do you think, let's really go back and think about this. The first might have been who?
Well, I think
I can't think of any now.
The Thin Man with Peter Lawford, that was kind of later on.
That was, yes, The Thin Man. And, of course, that was a TV version of the famous movies.
Yes, it didn't last too long.
No.
Nick
and Nora Charles.
Yes.
Have you ever seen the terribly funny and terrible, terrible and terribly funny movie Murder by Death?
Yes.
With Peter Falk and Peter Sellers and a lot of other Peters?
Yes.
Neil Simon, just excellent. I mean, excellent. There's so many good jokes in there. And it's worth it, even though it's horrible. There are some funny moments. And he also made a movie. He also wrote a movie with beautiful called The Cheap Detective.
The Cheap Detective. That was terrible.
Oh, I know, but there were funny jokes.
Yes. Neil Simon. A lot of guest Simon stars in that. Ann Margaret was in that.
Ann Margaret was in that one?
Yeah, she was in that. She was actually the killer.
Now, she was married to Roger Smith.
77 Sunset Strip.
And he was in 77 Sunset Strip. That's right. One of the first places I went when I went to Los Angeles was I went down Sunset. And I said, I got to find this place. I went to 77 Sunset Strip, and it didn't look anything like the TV show.
All right. Well, hit it, Myron. Let's hear it.
you want to hear it? Okay, let's get
it. Absolutely.
This was funny. There were this was a good one. Okay, let me get this one up here, okay? And tell him who else was in it, because one of them died recently.
Ephraim Zimbalist Jr.
Like anybody knows Ephraim Zimbalist. He called himself Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. He must have been Ephraim Zimbalist himself must have been an actor or something, right?
Ephraim Zimbalist was a concert violinist.
Okay.
Okay. And his claim to fame was a solo he did at the Brooklyn Academy of Music. And I think it was 1937. And he was an impresario and extremely famous violinist. And Ephraim Jr. did not want to go into music. He studied acting.
And some people think he actually did it. Here's the theme song.
77 Sunset Strip.
77 Sunset Strip.
Starring Ephraim Zimbalist Jr.
77 Sunset Strip.
And Roger Smith.
There's Roger Smith. He was, you know, I'll tell you a story.
Co-starring Edward Burns.
Everybody knows the words.
By Warner Brothers.
Right? 77 Sunset Strip, 77 Sunset Strip, 77 Sunset Strip, 77 Sunset... Yes, very, very simple, yes. Roger Smith married to Margaret, Ann Margaret, Ann-Margaret, who became Ann-Margaret Smith. And we had another, I got another, someone else wrote something in here. Elliot Nesterian, oh, I did that already. Did somebody else call in here? Somebody else say something? Who? Area code 216 is the North American telephone area code for Cleveland. Isn't that something? Isn't that weird how that popped up? And, says Tyler, and most of its inner suburbs in Cuyahoga County. Cuyahoga County, everyone.
I was there, I think.
Every time I used to pass, and now apparently Ann Margaret became, she left the scene for a while. To take care of him. They were married, and he got this very, and I think he's still alive. And I don't know the name of this illness, but he became very sick and almost immobile. And I used, I don't know what he had or what he still has. Obviously, I don't think he recuperated. And Ann Margaret pretty much left show business to take care of him. I used to pass the house all the time on the way up to, when I was up, stationed up there in Beverly Hills. And
every time you passed his house, you had to go like this.
Yeah, this and that. And he didn't do much else, but I do remember that. I don't know how the hell they got
together. After that, he was in a TV series based on the movie. He was on in Mr. Roberts.
Oh,
He was in a short-lived series, with Richard X. Slattery, and it was pretty bad.
Now, 77 Sunset Strip itself became so popular that what? There were some other ones.
Well, with 77 Sunset Strip, then you had Bourbon Street Beat.
Oh, wait a second. Was that?
Richard Long.
Yes. Now, Richard, on the diet. Here we go.
Hawaiian Eye with Robert Conrad.
One at a time. Here comes. Okay. We don't want an Surfside advertisement. Six. I don't want an advertisement here, so I'm waiting. You know, this is what happened when the world took over here. Okay, here we go. Surfside Six.
With Troy Surfside Donahue. Surfside Six.
Here.
What's that? What's that?
Surfside Six.
An address.
An address,
Surfside
yeah.
Six.
Where is it?
In Miami Beach. Surfside Six.
Starring Troy Donahue.
Well.
Surfside Six.
Van Williams.
Van Williams, oh my God.
Surfside Six.
Lee Patterson.
Lee Patterson.
In Miami Beach.
You know, it's fascinating how, it's not fascinating, it's obvious, but if you look at these, you look at Troy Donahue and those other guys, and you see the templates of cool guys from the 50s. You know, the templates. They didn't take no chances with characters. They had to be suave, they had to be look great, they had to be that, you know, Conrad Twitty. Yeah, like Bye Bye Birdie, Conrad Twitty type.
Conrad Birdie.
Conrad Birdie, that's right. Conrad Twitty was there. Really wasn't Conrad Twitty. But thank you, Birdie. Good. Bye Bye Birdie wasn't Bye Bye Twitty. But
Bye Bye Twitty.
They had Twitty to. And this is what's really changed, because all of these people were like models. They weren't real people. This has changed immensely over the years. Yes, the other guys who weren't blonde, but they, you know, they're...
Co-starring Diane McBain.
Diane McBain? What are you...
And
Margarita Sierra.
Margarita Sierra. Where did these people go from here? Do you
know? Margarita Sierra. She was like the hot receptionist.
Yeah, well, whatever happened to Margarita? You don't know how it happened to her either, huh?
She, she's probably running a motel somewhere in South Miami.
There's more to this? I'm gonna bet. Wait a second, there's another one here? Warner Brothers.
A Warner Brothers television production.
Again? Okay. All right, so that way.
That's enough of that.
Yeah, the other one here is the one, other one you mentioned, and I'm only playing these songs but just to show you how stuff has changed. Also,
why not?
Yeah. Now, didn't they read you? Oh no,
Hawaiian Eye.
Private Eye, right? That's what that's supposed to mean.
Starring Anthony Isley.
Hawaiian Eye.
Robert Conrad,
huh? Knock this off my shoulder. Go ahead.
And Connie Stevens.
Connie Stevens. Even the girls wore these, had these, you know, they were these, Connie Stevens, think of some other of those girls, Tammy, who was the Tammy? What was her name? Stella Stevens.
Sandra
Dee is who I was thinking about. Yeah. All of these, you know, you could, if you did this today, and got
Stella
people.
Stella Stevens.
I met Stella Stevens once. She was still gorgeous when I met her. She was
still is. She was
gigantic.
She's pretty good now too.
Who else was in this?
Steve Hunt.
Wait a second. We forgot this guy. Here, hold on a second. Connie Stevens. And who?
Poncy Ponce.
Now let's not get politically correct.
A top 40 song.
Did he? Poncy Ponce?
Yes, it was a song. He changed the words. You know, Cotton Fields, the old song?
Yeah, sure.
He changed it to Pineapple Fields.
Really?
Yeah, it was a top 40 song.
Wow.
I actually saw him perform that in Atlantic City.
See, in those days, they did things. Now, this guy, Poncy Ponce, could probably never have gotten a part, but because of he's Poncy Ponce. And
he was the Cookie Burns of Hawaiian Eye.
Yeah, but I'm saying he's ethnic, and because they're doing Hawaii, they get a Hawaiian guy. You see, matter of fact, maybe that was the original name of it, Hawaiian Guy, starring Poncy Ponce. No, it wasn't. But what I'm saying is they used to do things like that because we had characterizations, and people, they never thought of a Hawaiian guy playing the part that Anthony Isley, I mean, as a main character. No, okay? He wouldn't even get a job if it wasn't Hawaiian Eye. If it was Massachusetts Eye, Poncy Ponce would not have gotten a part. See,
no.
I think that's how things have changed, too. I don't see one black guy in any of these, do you? There's not one,
no,
nothing.
No, they're shining shoes or driving a cab.
This is so unbelievably white in 1950s.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's see if this...
And the last one of that group is Bourbon Street Beat.
Yeah, I'll look up Bourbon. Okay, let's up Bourbon Street Beat. Da, 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 right, Bourbon,
yep,
Street.
That's the one with Richard Long.
Bourbon Street.
And
Richard Long, right.
Television's answer to Charlton Heston. You know who that is?
Television's answer? Was that, what's his name? The guy you mentioned?
Andrew Duggan.
Yeah, Andrew Duggan. I think it's
he
Duggan.
He was the Charlton Heston of TV.
Andrew Duggan used to do, Bourbon Street Beat. Does this start from the top? I don't know.
Start from the top.
I am trying to find it here.
Was pretty jazzy, too. I think Neil Hefti did that song.
Bourbon Street Beat TV intro here. I don't, this is not long at all. It's short. Here we go.
It's short.
Bourbon Street Beat. Bourbon Street Beat.
Now notice that, now let's look at this again here. Notice that the lyric, first lyric of it is Bourbon Street Beat, and then the announcer tells you the name of the show. Listen to this again. This is good. Listen.
Bourbon Street Beat.
And you say to yourself, what the hell could be the name of this show?
What's the name of the show?
Bourbon Street Beat.
Oh, okay. And then you say it again. Starring
Richard Long.
In New Orleans.
Andrew Duggan.
It's Duggan.
With Arlene Howell and Van Williams.
Oh my God, it's Van Williams again.
Produced by Warner Brothers.
Make sure we know that. Bourbon Street Beat. What the thing I don't understand is I'm watching TV and I'm going, what's the name of, the hell is this? What's the name of this show? How could be the name of this show?
Bourbon Street Beat.
I don't know why that makes me laugh so much, but it does.
You know, wasn't that announcer great? He had such a great voice. He did those intros for all of those shows.
That was the same guy. You're right. That's the same guy for all of
them. He also did the intro to The Untouchables.
I'm sure. Let's see. Let's find. We didn't do that, did we? I think we have the Untouchables. Not the, boy, the theme from the movie is one. This is a series theme. Series see, episodes.
You can pull it up because I pull it up and listen to it.
The movie soundtrack was great. Oh God, look at this. Season 2, season 5. Everything is here. Hold on a second. Season 3. Okay, but does it start from the beginning? Episode 1, season 3. Let's see if it starts on maybe it got to start from the beginning, right? Here it goes.
Tonight's episode, The Jake Lingle Killer. Starring Robert Stack. Co-starring Charles McGraw. And special guest star, Jack Lord.
Jack Lord! Special guest star, Jack Lord, of course.
Who he was a bad guy in that one.
Played the first Felix Leiter in the James Bond movie.
Yes.
Huh? The first, yeah.
Yes.
Isn't that something?
Like I was saying, Robert Stack was not the first choice to play Elliot Ness. It was Van Johnson.
Yes, you did never tell us that. Was it Van Johnson? Boy, did I dislike Van Johnson.
Van Johnson. Van Johnson's wife at the time said, are you kidding me? This isn't going anywhere.
You know, I did a soliloquy once, or it was a monologue. I don't know. What's the difference between a soliloquy and a monologue? Is there such a thing as a
monologue? Monologue is speaking.
Monologically?
Soliloquy is singing.
Oh, a soliloquy is singing? Is that so? A soliloquy.
I did a soliloquy,
which is a monologue soliloquy. Soliloquy. A monoliloquy. There it is. Anyway, the thing I think I was doing is that this, for some reason, there are certain people you don't know, you just know through media, that you take one look at this person and you hate them for some reason. And I don't know why, but I had so many problems watching from as long as I can remember watching movies or anything on TV or anything. Van, who'd you say? Van
Johnson.
Yeah, Van Johnson. I don't know what it is about Van Johnson, but every time he showed up in a movie, I mean, you know, if it wasn't, I had to struggle 4 times to get through the K Mutiny. Because he...
Because good movie, by the way.
Something about him I just do not, never liked. Isn't that weird?
It's his delivery.
You must have
been. Delivery.
Yeah, but there must be people you just dislike, and you have no real reason to dislike them in movies and stuff.
Sterling Hayden.
Look, you really dislike Sterling Hayden, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that something? Right, boy, and he was great, he was okay.
No, my favorite part in The Godfather is when he gets his head shot off.
See that? So everybody, I was right. This is a very common thing among all of us. Now, let me, what do you think is the most popular? Well, let's go into the next generation. And now what, all these, and these were all black and white, friends. Well, remember, this is TV. It's all black and white stuff. What happened after this, and when color started coming in? What would, where did police and where did these shows go?
They were always around. Of course, then you had the spoof. You had Car 54, which made fun of the police. And then you had a show, which actually was a half-hour show on Tuesday nights called NYPD with Jack Warden.
There you go, NYPD. I just want to mention one thing about Car 54, Where Are You? Because I have recently seen, and they do show it on MeTV. And I got to tell you that Nat Hiken was a genius. Nat Hiken was way ahead of his time. That show is so over the top and so laugh out loud funny that it is unbelievable how it stands up. A lot of this stuff does not stand up, okay?
Yes.
But farce idiot comedies like that, and of course
Bilko.
He created the Bilko show. They're just absolutely hilarious in every possible way. But we're not talking about comedies. That would fall into comedy before it fell into Cops.
Yes.
Even though Nat Hiken liked to do stuff in uniform, obviously, but he didn't. But you're right. Now we're going to NYPD, and we're going to stuff that became more serious, and there were and other actors But that, I don't know, NYPD wasn't like, was that a color? Because I lose track of them after kind of the.
I think it only ran for 3 seasons, and its last season was colorized, and then it just got old and they kept rehashing the same stories. And they weren't very good. And we had Jack Warden. He was the. Actually, before NYPD into the 60s, you had Naked City.
Okay, yes, the Naked City. Okay.
Naked City with Paul Burke and Horace McMahon.
Okay.
And that had a lot of, Jack Warden was a guest. Of course, he was a criminal. Robert Duvall, Clint Eastwood, a lot of, actors and actresses that became famous afterwards. And Naked City was a very, very popular show. So then they progressed to, you had in T.J. Hooker.
Now, that's the 70s now. I'm trying
that
to...
That moved into the 70s.
You know, okay, staying...
That was colorized.
Staying in the 60s, look at this. Here's one I have. There was a show called The Fat Man? TV pilot, 1959. That's 59. Here's ABC, The Untouchables. I'm looking through this thing here right now. Then how about The Cases of Eddie Drake, 1952? Oh, that's really early. This could be like one of the original guys. Do you remember that? I don't.
You had City Detective.
Is there a City Detective?
Ray Milland did one season as a, actually he was a lawyer slash detective called Markham.
Markham, okay.
Didn't go over very well.
Look at this, Front Page Detective, 1951. I'm supposed to, here I am talking about the 60s, and I'm finding stuff here that goes, Rocky King Detective? Rocky King Detective, 1950s. I didn't even realize, so I didn't look at these things. This stuff even predates us. I mean, I was like 4 years old. I wasn't watching detective shows. But let's move on. Let's move on here. Of course, what's going to happen is we're going to eventually get to, we just see how these guys have changed. I mean, the difference between, let's say M Squad, Lee Marvin and M Squad, to Columbo.
Okay.
When characters and everything, what is going on? Can I fly? I'm trying to kill a fly while we're doing this.
Help me!
He's got a little human face on him.
Before you go to Columbo, though, which was part of the NBC Mystery Movies,
you've got to
go to the Mod Squad.
Ah, then now the Mod Squad, you bring up a really good, because now they wanted to do a detective show. It was the 60s, and they wanted it to be hip. So they had to actually get the Mod Squad, the hippies who were who were cops who would go after hippie crimes. This is perfect because you do bring up in the metamorphosis of where we got to today, how the trends and the styles of the day dictated the themes of the show. Yes. And
Eddie Lipton.
And you could actually say that Charlie's Angels was also,
yes. Spawned from that.
And right, and there you are using women. There were no women detectives in the 50s. So even in the 60s. No.
No, and a lot of those cop shows in the 50s, if there was a gal that was being arrested, you saw a woman bit player actress in a policewoman's uniform.
That's crazy. Yes, that's right.
The hottest policewoman I ever saw was Joy Lansing as detective in Superman.
Joy Lansing, I saw her the other night on a rerun of an old Jack Benny show, and she plays the Jack Benny program. The gorgeous woman, the surprise gorgeous wife of this guy who can't play the violin. It was stupid. But wait a second. Now you're onto the whole thing. Because we have the Mod Squad, we got Charlie's Angels, and we have how characters are emerging from this. The women. There were no women detectives in the 50s and then early 70s. All men. This was a man's world. Okay? Yes. And then...
Some hard-boiled cops.
A long way from Angela Lansbury's Murder, She Wrote, right?
Murder. she wrote.
Then we found the woman who wrote murder books, and then whatever town she went to, somebody happened to get killed. I always thought that was a little hard sell. How did they sell that one?
Yeah, you don't want to go on vacation with her.
It's wherever she goes, someone's murdered, she happens to figure it out. But still, the idea, and what we're saying is how times and culture changes, is that you never could have sold the idea of Murder, She Wrote in like 59, 60, 61. Couldn't be done.
No. No, the British pulled it off back then with Miss Marple. They had the Miss Marple mysteries, and that was on BBC in Great Britain, where they had the Miss Marple stories, which was about an old lady that solved crimes.
And the British were, but of course that, yeah, I know, and the British were also, the British and womanhood is a whole other story, but in culture-wise, how that, by comparison to the United States. Here's some, we got another, someone else writing something in here now. What about the 60s British show? Oh, of course, well, when you talk about the Avengers, when we're talking about a whole different, that's a different genre.
Yes.
See, when there's the spy thing, but I mean, it eventually gets to that, but that's because of James Bond. That's all because of James Bond.
Burke's Law went from Amos Burke being a chief of detectives to Amos Burke, secret agent.
Yeah, they had to actually change the show when the trend changed. But Burke's Law was originally he was a lawyer, but
he was a millionaire chief of detectives.
Think about
that. He's a million. He has a chauffeur bringing him to these crime scenes.
Right, Burke's Law, but he played the guy
Gene Barry.
Yes, and he was
went to PS-121 in Brooklyn.
Yes, and then he went to New Utrecht.
Yes,
he's a New Utrecht High guy. And then we move into, I'm trying to figure out, because I don't know a lot of these things, how I thought, you could tell me more about where it goes from there. And when we go into the 60s, then we go into the 70s, like I said, with the Columbo, that's when the detective and the private eye and the guys turned out to be, they were a lot more character oriented than situation oriented. Because now they were allowed to do this. I mean, it was more open. It was a freer society, was different, and values were changing. And that's where we saw Columbo as part of that. Now, what was the rest of that mystery theater?
You had the NBC mystery. You had McCloud with Dennis Weaver, who was based on the Coogan's Bluff character that Clint Eastwood played. McCloud was I think he was from Oklahoma, and he came to New York to be a cop. And he was J.D. Cannon was his superior. He was always getting yelled at. And in all those cop shows, the lieutenants or the captains are always yelling at the stars of the show, if you notice. like Beretta. Beretta's always getting yelled at.
The true private detectives, like Rockford, right? They were just private detectives. They were just guys. That's what they did.
Rockford, he would say right away.
And then, Cannon
was a little different. Cannon would roll out of his, he had a really nice car. What do you have, like a Galaxy?
Oh, Cannon, Who was that?
He couldn't run around too much, though. And then Heck Ramsey. Heck Ramsey was...
Ramsey, that's Richard Boone. I have never heard that for ages, and it just came to my head. Wait, go back to Cannon for a second. What was his name?
Conrad.
Conrad, he's the original voice...
William Conrad.
William Conrad, the original voice of the Lone Ranger on radio.
Yes. Now let's stay with William Conrad. I want to get back to the Dragnet. Dun dun dun. Dun.
Yeah.
I'll tell you where that came from.
Oh right, we didn't even do that. Go ahead.
There was a movie made in 1947 called The Killers, and it is based on a short story by Ernest.
Yes, of the Ernest Hemingway story. Right. But Ronald Reagan is in that, isn't he? Isn't Ronald Reagan in that?
No, he's not. He was in the remake.
Oh, okay. He's in the remake. Okay, you're.
Now, The Killers, I think, is a slam-bang hell of a movie. It is, great writing. It's film noir. But anyway, Burt Lancaster, Ava Gardner. Well, William Conrad is in it. Him and Charles McGraw, they play the killers.
Okay.
And every scene that they in, when you see them on the screen, the background music...
Really?
Dun,
isn't that
dun,
something?
Dun, dun, dun.
Ah. Where, and I wonder, I don't know who wrote that, but apparently He got it. There's another case of neo-postmodernism. So he took that and then put it into the other thing. Hey, here's Richard. Oh, you said Richard Diamond. Yeah, there's Richard Diamond.
Yes. Call Mr. D.
No, that's before.
But yeah, so you had the NBC Mystery Movies, and you know, there was a show, actually, it was in color in the 60s. It was called Arrest and Trial with Ben Gazzara and Chuck Connors.
We forgot Racket Squad.
Oh, yeah.
We forgot
Racket
that.
Racket Squad was only actually on for 1 year, but it made a it was on reruns all over the place. That and Code 3.
Wow, yeah.
Racket Squad with Reed Hadley.
There were a lot more than I thought here. Before, and we're all doing this now before we're going to ignore the we're going to ignore the secret agent thing because even though that existed, the police thing went on, the detective and mystery thing went on, and of course that's what turned into today's what are the Law and Orders and what CSI and
CSI
LOL. Order. That was it. It's not LOL. CSI LOL. That's the one I was working.
Person of interest.
Right. All these. Now these.
I Let Three Lives.
I have a hard time with those shows.
I do too. I think they're hilarious.
Even though they. You know, you look at the character, if you match, and this is what you should do, people, if you want to see the cultural changes in America itself, you could see it by just looking at these TV shows detective shows, mystery killing, you know, shows from the 50s. Yeah.
And then watch the Police Academy movies.
You look at the law, then you can see what they're mocking, but you look at the serious ones, compare the serious ones, and you see all the changes in pop culture, and you could also see the roots of some of these shows, because some of that stuff is just written and rewritten and rewritten and I've never seen seen one CSI episode all the way through. I have not.
I haven't either. I always try and pick out like who the guests are. I'll say, you know what? Oh, that guy was in a commercial. Or, he's in this? Boy, he had his face done.
You bring up another good thing, a good point, and that is that a lot of the people on these shows now don't really, they don't have the same stature.
No.
And as a matter of fact, the people on their way, in those days, the actors and actresses on their way up were in television. These days, it's the actors and actresses on their way down who find themselves into that. And that's why I'm not going to call him a friend, but certainly my old softball buddy, Jeff Goldblum, was, eventually I saw him pop up. He wasn't in movies for a while, and then I saw him pop up in what? Which one is he in now? CSI, You Are My, LA, CSI, what? Which one is that? Law and Order, Fix My Kidney, Shoot My Head, what is it? What is he in? CSI, Dead Bodies, or Dead on Arrival, what is it? Which one is he on? Do you know? I don't remember.
I don't know.
Yeah, but he wound up on one, and a lot of the movie people, like Chris. They wind up in these series.
You know the guy that played the captain in those Police Academy movies. He's the foil. You know, a bucket of water falls on his head, or they're doing something behind his back, and he always says, "I know what they're doing. I'm just going to catch him." He's on one of those cop shows. He's like a serious cop. I always picture maybe somebody behind him, like throwing a bucket on him or something.
Where are we? Everyone.
Hey, you can't forget Kojak.
Kojak, yes, of course. Certainly. But you see how the characters in themselves changed. I mean, they were regular type guys when they were the M Squad and Dragnet. Yes. They were just regular guys. Now they have all sorts of different.
Now you had the ethnic cop. Okay. Jack was Greek, right? So now you had like all kind of Greek stuff. Now he spawned, or actually I always call them parallel shows, because from Kojak on another network you had Chan.
Okay, and now, oh good.
The guy that played Chan was like the big bad guy on Hawaii Vol.
on Hawaii Five-0, which is, and now there's a remake of Hawaii Five-0. You know, we didn't mention, Dr. Waldo just checked in here and said, what about Mannix?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Mannix.
That was a little, you know, that was a little tough. My cousin had a guest star on Mannix.
Yeah?
Yeah, he enjoyed it very much.
And we enjoyed him. Please remind him. Mannix. Wow.
With Peggy, who was his secretary? Peggy.
Who was he? I forgot his name.
Oh, Mike Connors.
Mike Connors, of course. Mike Connors, the last time I...
He was originally billed as Touch Connors.
The last time I saw him, he played the father of Bob Einstein in the movie, the Super Dave movie. Bob Einstein, of course, the brother of Albert Brooks. Bob Einstein, who almost hired me and Tom Savino once for a show. Almost. We almost got hired. But Bob Einstein, Super Dave, everybody knows Super Dave, right? Like, I want to see a show of hands here on radio. Right, thank you. And he played as Mike Connors. Is he dead now?
No, I think he's... No, you know what?
We don't know. That was a long time ago.
Google him.
Man, we'll Google him later. Everybody, that's what you need to do. Everybody Google Mike Connors later. We're not going to do that now. We're stuck on finding some of these other... going into the 70s. But I think we've proven our point about how these... how the characters have changed based on how we saw based on what? I mean, based on people being different, being a little off, not being straightforward like the Joe right. Fridays and the M Squads. Or look at what's his name? We forgot what's his name? Beretta, too.
Oh yeah, Robert Blake.
Here's something. TV detectives.
Beretta, he's always getting yelled at.
TV detectives, okay, here's of the 70s. Here's who? Kojak? The stupid, crazy 70s music in the back.
You shut up, Cass. Your caper killed a man. Creep over here, set it up.
That's him talking. It's Kojak. And his cannon, Kojak? These are the main ones. This music. There's Columbo, of course. Cannon, here's Beretta. I used to eat all the time in the valley at the place. Eat at the Vitello's is the name of the restaurant, and I've talked about this restaurant 100 times, even before Robert Blake's wife was killed. Right out, and that's where they ate the night she was killed at Vitello's. I wonder if it's still there in the valley. Somebody from LA, please get in touch with me. Here's Beretta, but you see how the characters that are becoming. You shut up, Cash. And they all have these little conceits. That's it? That's these go. That's it. Anyway, those are the ones. Those are the
who
biggest.
Who loves
ones.
You, baby?
Who loves you, Barry? Yeah, he's cool and suave. And Beretta's kind of that. He's just this single kind of hip guy. He's like left over from Beatnik. He's what's left of Beatniks in the 70s.
He's the eye of the sparrow.
And what's his name? Columbo's this old guy. You never see his wife, but he's got a wife somewhere home. And he's this master criminal.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Master criminal who just, master detective who for some reason or other always gets... You know what's great about him? This is the other thing about how formats changed. What I really loved about Columbo was that you had to watch him figure out what you already knew because the murderer was displayed in the beginning of the show.
Yeah, in the beginning of the show, yeah.
And it was always a white crime, a white crime. It was always a white collar crime murder.
Yes.
John Cassavetes was even in that. Well, they were good friends. Yeah,
John Cassavetes.
All the songs. And, an actor kills somebody. An author kills somebody. Famous author, a famous actor. Right? Yes. There was always someone. Who was not necessarily a criminal.
That's what made it unique.
And they committed the murder. You watched it as an audience. The audience watched it. And then we had to see how Columbo Columbo.
Lieutenant Columbo. Peter Falk.
No. What was his... Lieutenant what Columbo? Was it Joseph?
Lieutenant Columbo.
Was it Joseph Columbo? Was it Arnold Columbo? What was it? We don't know, do we?
Jaime?
Jaime Columbo. No, it was... Well, I know that's funny because I don't know. Someone is bound to find that out for us while we're talking. TV detective.
But you know who was cool though? Banachek was cool.
Banachek? Oh, wait a second. Here's a TV detective show theme song. What is it? Oh no, it says theme song. Oh, I can't believe that's the theme to this. That's just a random one? They're showing pictures of Columbo. Can't be. That's not Columbo.
No, it's not the theme today.
Here's the NBC Mystery Movie theme. Here it is. Which included...
Oh, yeah, that was cool.
Which included, now, wait a second, McMillan and wife. Because remember, we had the teams.
Now you had the teams, right.
Columbo, McMillan and wife, they McLeod, as you mentioned. And this was the theme, and then they switched every couple of weeks, right?
Yes, they alternated, yes.
They're using a Thurman. Wow. Sunday nights, wasn't it?
Sunday evenings, yes. After the Ed Sullivan Show.
Okay, so that was the... Now, McMillan and wife was Rock Hudson.
Susan St. James.
Okay. Now who?
They were in San Francisco. That's where they took place in San Francisco.
Which was also where Mike Douglas came.
Yeah, had Streets of San Francisco.
The Streets of San Francisco. We'd call him older than Mike Douglas. Mike Douglas? Yes. Mike Douglas. No, Mike Douglas. Michael Douglas. Remember Mike Douglas?
The man in my little girl's life.
That's right. Oh, crap. Where did that is the man in my Mike?
What was that? I said
Michael.
Bad.
Now Michael Douglas.
He sung the theme of Born Free for the movie.
Who? Mike Douglas?
Mike Douglas. Everybody thought it was Andy Williams. It was Mike Douglas.
Was it? You're joking.
He had that stinking show. They had to give him something.
Are you kidding me?
It was Mike Douglas. Google it.
His name was Frank. His name was Frank Columbo. I'm hearing from somebody just. Frank Columbo, never said explicitly on the show, but can be seen on his police ID. It says, wow, there's a trivia one, huh? You go into a bar and win that one. I never knew Columbo had my first name. Now I was Columbo and the Pope.
I think it was Frank 216 Columbo.
216. Good callback. My name is Frank Catolo. I'm the man whose name adorns the title of the show. We're here at Catolo Chronicles. We're chronicling this another pop culture phenomena, which is the detective show, the police show, and how it has changed over the years based on the culture, not based on it. It has not paved the way. It just picked up. What is it? Was art imitating life? And it's, yes. And it's difficult to call a lot of it art. Sometimes crap, and it's crap imitating life also works. Crap imitating life. And what about when we go to the... Let me see if I go to the 80s. We went to 70s. What's about... I'm going to look at the
80s. Oh, in the 80s, we got Eyeshide with Joe Don Baker.
Joe Don Baker with what? What do we have? No, I'm lost.
It's called Eyeshide. He was the commissioner of police, and he solved crimes.
Wow. And look, here's the... And they brought back Mike Hammer.
Yeah.
They brought back Mike Hammer. That was originally, I was on in the 50s too, wasn't that one in the 50s?
Yeah, that was Darren McGavin.
That was Darren McGavin, right. And then they brought back Mickey Spillane's Mike, they called it Mickey Spillane's Mike Hammer with, go ahead, remember?
Mickey Spillane.
Oh, no. No, Stacy Keach.
Stacy Keach, that's right.
Stacy Keach. Now I'm in the 80s here. I don't understand.
But I think Mike Hammer, if I'm not mistaken, Mickey Spillane was like a bartender in the bar that he used to go in all the time.
What was that? Mickey Spillane. What is this? Top 10 detectives of the 80s? Why do they? Oh, wait a second. Hold on a second. I got a bunch here. Let's get that. Let me get through this. Do we have to listen to this darn music while we're doing it? While they're listening? Okay, here we go. In the 80s, here's what we look for. Sherlock Holmes in the 80s? Law and Order?
Yeah.
Sleuth! What is that one? Sleuth? Who was in that one? Sleuth. TV show. You remember that? I don't remember Sleuth.
No. It must have been off for 20 minutes.
Remington Steele?
Yeah, Remington Steele, yeah. That's right.
Murder, she wrote. Quincy!
Murder.
Quincy! What
Quincy.
About... we forgot. God, there were a lot of them. Quincy now...
Yeah, here. Quincy. Well, you know what? There's a lot of crime, and you need people to solve crimes.
Yes, they looked for different... coming at it from different angles. He was a police forensic...
He was the medical examiner.
Yes, it's Quincy M.E. You're right, medical examiner. It's Quincy M.E. I thought it meant Quincy, me. I'm Quincy.
Me.
We forgot. And so they took it from that angle. Let's see what else we have here. Miami Vice.
That was a biggie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my good old friend.
And then they tried to copy that. They had a show called Hawaiian Heat.
Hawaiian Heat. Wasn't Sheena Easton in Miami Vice for a while?
At the end, yeah, she married
She married him, didn't she?
John Johnson character.
Yeah, okay, we're not going to go into that story again. My Sheena Easton story. Let's move on here to... Okay, the Rockford Files, we know that. Columbo. These are the top 80s. Here we are on the... Here's Columbo talking. Oh, no, it's Peter Falk as an old man talking about Columbo. Why can't we hear him? It's a very bad tape. You hear that? It's a very...
Peter Falk is an old man.
It's a very bad... Here's Tom Selleck. P.I.? Oh, the P.I. Yeah, what is that? Magnum P.I.? He's looking like every male porn star of the 70s. Tom Selleck.
Yes.
Who else do we have here? Oh, these are just now interviews with the various people I just mentioned. Selleck and these were recorded inside a barrel, as you can hear. Inside a tunnel or a barrel. Listen to this. Come on. Use microphones in those days or what? That's it. Okay, those are the top ones, and then Murder, She Wrote, and this guy, I forgot his name, Cantrell, what was this guy's name? He wrote a lot of this junk.
Oh, yeah, Lanny,
what's his name? Is it Lanny?
No.
Let me see if I could find his name here somewhere.
Let's see, we had Quinn Martin, and then we had
Stephen
J. Cannell.
That's this guy, yes. Yeah, he's a seedy-looking guy. He did Beretta. I guess he did Magnum, too. He wrote and produced a lot of these things. This is him right here. Yeah, okay, so that's it for the 80s. And almost, how would we put this? These policemen were like cardboard human beings. They were template. They were almost comic book. And I'm looking for a word here in terms of the character. They were, I guess, templates. Yes. Templates the best one, though. They were just...
Drinking milk?
Yeah, they weren't. They were very conservative. They didn't have any heart.
They were very straight.
Yeah, they were extremely...
I mean, when you have Hugh Beaumont in Racket Squad, you know, he plays a detective in Racket Squad. You know, Hugh Beaumont.
Hugh Beaumont. Oh, you're talking Hugh Beaumont, not Hugh Marlowe. Hugh Beaumont, who was the father in Leave It to Beaver? Is that Hugh Beaumont?
He was a detective in Racket Squad.
Wow. And many of these people those people are all, they're all dust now. Those 50s, the 50s people. And we do have some 70s people who have passed on. 50s, 60s, and 70s, we don't see, another fast blast here comes in here. What's this one say? Where is it? Recent. Recent who? Who's this now? Skylar says, the archetype. Thank you, Skylar. I'm looking for archetype. That's the word I was looking to find, the archetype. I guess template works in there, too, because they're just these. No, archetype works better.
Archetype works
better. Let's use archetype.
right.
So we went from there to now. What about? I don't know much about what goes on with the characters today, other than they're all. What are they all? They're all intelligent. They're smart on all those levels of being smart, right?
Yeah, and they always have to have an Oriental person that knows like IT stuff.
They have Oriental. Do they have characters that they use specifically? Oriental people specifically for?
Yeah, because either the Oriental person is either going to play the violin or they're going to know IT. So it's a cop show. They know the IT stuff.
So we still do have various yeah. types of. Characterizations.
Oh, sure. You got the hippie girls that are like real sharp in the laboratory. They know all the lab crap. So, you know, they got the tattoos and the earrings in their noses. And then there's one there with Mark Harmon. They have like the smaller actress, the midget. She's like really uh-huh. smart. And David McCallum, he's in it. He was the man from Uncle.
Yes, David McCallum is in one of those. The thing is that they're using now. See, they can't get away with the things they got away with in the old days or even in the 70s and 80s because now we have all this, you know, the digital revolution has really changed, looking for the forensic and the really
yes, changed. It's forensics. It's all about forensics.
Forensics has really changed the mechanics of solving crimes and things.
Yeah, you have DNA and all that stuff.
DNA and all that stuff. That's not the name of your new book. I like it.
That's the working title.
DNA and all that stuff. It's with the Brock. Hello, Rob here, author of Lamplight. And you writing any more books?
Yes, I'm in the, let's see, maybe about 30% through my second book.
Yeah, but working title. Is it DNA and other stuff? Is that a word? You just got a working title or you don't have?
That's something I'm working on the side.
Okay, well, it needs to be worked on the side.
I'm also writing an article for the... who's on first? Abbott and Costello newsletter for October.
Ah, I forgot his name. He's forgot his name. That guy who runs that thing there. Chris has told me time and time again, get in touch with him. He'll be on the show. And yet I have Chris on the show and I don't have him. And I don't. I forget his name. Whatever. So I used to get that all the time. I don't know why I don't get it anymore.
Yeah, how come you don't get it? I get it.
You get the newsletter? I don't get the
Oh, yeah.
Well, I get it. I get something on the web, but I don't get the... Oh, anyway. In any event, in whatever I say in all events here, we have about 5 minutes left. What would you like... What do you think is the main contribution to... do you think that it's given us anything back, all these
yes.
shows, or has it just mirrored... art or crap, imitating life or what have you. What has it done in your life? What has it done for you?
You know what it's done, and I think I can speak for many other people. It's right and wrong. Okay, you know, you had criminals; they were wrong, and then you had the cops or the private eyes; they were right, and you know, you had a distinction between. Hey, you knew right away, this guy's the good guy, this guy's the bad guy. You know? A little rough today. Today you don't know who the good guys or the bad guys are. But that was the important thing, that we knew the good guys from the bad guys and right from wrong. And I think that was the basis of all of those shows.
When I was a kid and I used to, you know, there was the obvious, before it was made known that it was a metaphor, the black hat was a bad guy, the white hat, you know, was a good guy. Before that, I used to think to myself, why do the bad guys wear uniforms? I mean, I guess they're proud to be bad guys. Did they ever think of putting on a white hat and fooling the white to the guy?
fooled them.
So I see what
he's wearing a white hat. He's a good guy.
I know. And so what you're saying is true. So what you're saying is that you enjoy the fact that it was simple and it was defined, that good and bad was defined so clearly is what you're saying, I think, right?
Yes.
And of course, but that's the point. That was the point I'm trying to make, I think, through it all. And that is that in the fiction of in reality dramatized, it was done that way. In reality, it never really was true, was it? Did you always know in reality? See, that's what was great about drama, because it follows a format, and of course it has to satisfy and have, sometimes have a moral end with a moral imperative. But the point is that that doesn't happen in life. That's what made it very satisfying, that, what you're saying. We grew up, you and I grew up watching these things and going, oh, that's how it goes. So the bad guys are the bad guys and the good guys are the good guys. And today...
I'm going to bring up one show we didn't bring up that really, as a kid growing up, I used to watch. It was on every Friday night. And it was Robert Taylor's Detectives.
Ah, The Detective. Oh, was it? Yeah, just Detectives, yeah.
It was called The Detectives. Yeah. And then when he changed networks, then it was called Robert Taylor's Detectives. And Tige Andrews was on it, and when I was a kid growing up, that's where I actually saw, these are the good guys and those are the bad guys.
Mm.
And that's coming from a kid that was growing up there, who's, my father was a policeman.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when, that's one show, and that ran a couple of seasons, and, that's when it really, hit me that, you know, there's good guys and there's bad guys, you know. I think I'm going to root for the good guys.
Hmm. Yeah. I think I learned that more on cowboy shows, but I was younger than you. So, again, they were, of course, you know, there were more of them, I think, in the early
50s. Yeah, well, that was right out there.
Yeah, and that's right. Exactly. Exactly. And you know, it continued to... you're right, though. It's very misleading today. And that makes it more realistic. I think that's what we've come. We've run the gamut, and it's all a lot more realistic today, because things are more out in the open, more realistic, and because people don't walk around with those suits. And how about, you know, we forgot to mention one thing, though, in terms of uniforms, and that has changed from the 50s, 60s to now, and that's the hats. Hats. The detectives and the guys in the hats. Watch the movies in the 40s, watch the TV in the 50s. Men wore hats. Hats.
They wore hats.
Hats. And detectives wore hats a certain way. You know, and that, as soon as the hat went out of style, and that's the perfect example, I think, of how the genre followed styles in pop culture, and that hat, it really is a symbol of, wow, it's gone. Hat's gone. Hey, Tom.
Yes.
Thank you for being here again.
You know, it's always a pleasure, and you know, I'd like to be on more often. And you know, you got the best show. You know, I'm on a few other shows, and which are great also. Love them. Your show is fantastic. It's very light, very...
Thank you. Don't paint yourself into a corner now. I know what you're saying, and I appreciate it. Yes. And we will have you on more, as soon as if you come up with any topics or anything, please let us know, and we'll, you know...
I'll let you know in a half hour.
Because we don't come up with some ideas, because we just run through this thing. We don't usually know what we're going to do until, you know, very, very late and what have you. So thanks a lot.
And it won't always be about television.
No, of course not. Plenty of other things.
It could be about the TV Guide.
It can. Indeed. Where am I? Oh, I got to get moving, because I have to hit this mark here. Thanks a lot, Tom.
Hey, you're welcome. Lamplight, Tommy Nocerino, it's out there. Frank, love you. See you soon.
Same here, man. You take care. Brock LaRob, go get his stuff, his book. It's great. Come on. Thank you. Oh, God, don't tell me I missed it by like 1 second. I actually tried to time this thing for a change. Isn't that amazing? I think so. My name is Frank. It's all a man. His name is doing the title of the show. Hey, don't forget to wake up. It's night. Things are changing even as we speak. We don't know what we'll be doing next week, but we hope we'll be doing something. Stay well. Happy August to you all. And stay healthy. I'm starting again. I'm on the health kick again. Huh? Yes. Yes. Good night, Mrs. Ernstweil. Wherever you are. Another fly bites the dust, by the way. And what else can I say? I can't say, I'm not going to say anything else, because I have nothing more to say.